Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for the truth that was contained in that hymn. And that's where it's at. Victory is in Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, 57 still says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us, us, the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad I got in on that.
Amen.
I got in on that 28 years ago, last November. And you know my story. I was in a jail cell. And preacher came in. I was looking at a lot of federal prison time. And ended up in a church service. And the preacher said, I don't know what you men are locked up for, but you die without the forgiveness that Jesus Christ went to the cross to purchase that gift of self.
What did I do?
I dropped it.
Who couldn't hear me?
I love the people on the internet. You're an international preacher.
Yeah, that's what I... I don't know where to that. Oh. All right. That was great for my train of thought. And a preacher said, you die without being forgiven, without being saved, without that gift of salvation that Brother Billy was talking about. He said, you got bigger problems than prison.
That's right.
Then he preached on hell. Just to make sure I got the message, he preached right out of Luke 16 on hell and confirmed what the Bible said, always has said. Something I'd heard as a kid. My grandmother saying, David, don't go to hell. And we just kind of decide that hell is a place where people are partying, not according to the book.
That's right.
Amen. And that preacher reconfirmed that the Bible said it's a place of torment and flame, weeping, wailing, gnashing your teeth. And I'm sitting there in this cell, and all the news I'm getting from home is bad, and all the news I'm getting from my lawyer is bad. And now this preacher comes in and says that, and I thought, oh, this is great. I'm sure glad I came to church today. Thanks for cheering me right up. I didn't like him. I didn't like his Bible. I didn't like his haircut. I didn't like the message, that's for sure. But that book says in John chapter 8, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Amen.
Boy, and I appreciate somebody having the guts to come to a place where it wasn't popular to tell the truth, because several weeks later, in my cell alone, I bowed way more than my knee. I bowed my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I got in on that pardon we were singing about a few minutes ago. And the good news about it is the gift of eternal life still comes through Jesus Christ alone. And I know this about this church. Actually, I knew this about this church long before I ever made it here through friends that we have in common. I knew that they would tell you the truth here. And remember, the truth will make you free.
Amen.
My wife's with me again, Mrs. Wonderful. I still call her that. She's more wonderful than she was last time. Me, I just have more metal. Two joint replacement surgeries, a year of rehab, and now we're finally back on the road, and it is a privilege to be here. Now, let me tell you one little story before we get to the Bible. This three men went hunting, deer hunting. And one was a pastor, the other two were guys from the church. And they're all out there, and it's good, clean Christian fellowship out there killing stuff. It's okay. In Jesus' name, right? Okay. And big old buck jumps up. Big old buck jumps up and takes off running, and all three of them saw him at the same time, whatever their positions were as they viewed this field, and all three fired at the same time. And the buck went down. The buck went down, and they all thought they killed it. When they got there, they realized that all three had fired, and all three of them thought they killed it. And here the buck is laying there, and I guess they never read that part over. It says about letting to see mother better than himself, because they were arguing about who it was and all claiming that they got it. And then the game warden shows up. He's out there somewhere, and he says, what's happening here? He said, well, we got a problem. We got a problem. This buck jumped up, and we all three fired, and now we can't figure out who killed it. And then the game warden said, let me examine this. And he examined the deer real good, and finally he comes up and he says, all right, this is easy. The pastor is the one that shot this deer and killed it. And they said, how can you tell it was him? And they said, because the bullet went in one ear and right out the other. Now, I say that to say this. We're beginning 10 days of Bible preaching and worshiping the Lord, singing, all that fellowship. But God forbid that it end up, I mean, when the Holy Spirit bears witness, God forbid it be in one ear and out the other.
Amen.
And listen, the Holy Spirit of God is not limited to my outlines or my messages at all. And God can bear witness to areas and issues in your life, give you help, give you reproof if that's what you need. That's help. It's not popular, but it's help. The Bible says reproofs are a way of life. I figured this out a while back. If we'd be more sensitive to reproof, there'd be less rebuke. Because nobody likes that. How do you know? Because most churches don't even get anywhere close to that. Because we got to make sure everybody feels good about themselves. Now, what I see in evangelism traveling around is the problem is most people feel too good about themselves already. And they don't know much about or even consider what the Lord Jesus Christ thinks about a matter. And we've assembled here this night and these next however long, 10 days, 9 more, whatever. Because we are interested in what the Lord Jesus Christ thinks. Yeah. All right, so take your Bible tonight and go to Acts chapter 11. See, that was a long introduction. I'm nervous. I'm trying to ease into this thing. Come on, I know I'm faking it. I look like I'm under control. I'm nervous. I'm always nervous. How long? 22 years full-time evangelist. How long do you preach before you're not nervous? I think if you can take something as important as that book and try to preach a message with the witness of the Holy Ghost on it, and you're not nervous, you have stepped into a realm I don't want to find out about. Because this is that serious. This is a big deal. Amen. This is a big deal. This is a big deal. I'm not a big deal. I just got in on one. Acts chapter 11, and let's pick it up at verse 25. And the Bible says that, "Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul." Now, the background is there was a revival. There was word of a revival going on in Antioch, and the disciples there sent Barnabas. He was trustworthy. He said he was a good man, full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. And they sent him up there to Antioch to see if it could possibly be true that these Gentiles were sure enough getting saved. And he confirmed it. He confirmed that there was a great move going on up there and people were getting saved. And so what did he do then? He left. And knowing what I know about the brethren, somebody was probably critical of that. Yeah, here he is up there and God's moving and all this. And where did he go? Well, he went just what we just read. It says, "Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul." He cared about him. He'd been praying for him. Saul had been out of the picture for a while, and he needed to be. And God was ministering to him, but it was time to bring him in. And it says in verse 26, "And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people." Let's stop right there for a second. He found him. He went to Tarsus. He found him, and he brought him back, and he brought him back to the church. This is scriptural, what we're doing here tonight. "And it came to pass the whole year they assembled themselves with the church," and it says taught. Taught much people. And teaching scriptural too. Sunday school is important. Bible study is important. Some people just punch the clock on Sunday morning all across the land, and it's just amazing. I'm thinking, you know, I get to places and hear people do Sunday school and see the congregations about 2/3 empty, and I'm thinking, man, you missed out on something. And I'm glad my preacher got it across to me early on that you need to be there for every service, and I got a hold of that, and I'm glad I did.
Amen.
All right, so let's go on. And now this is where I'm really going. And it says, "And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." A disciple is a follower, an adherent to the doctrines of another. These disciples, obviously of Jesus Christ, because that's how they got that name. These disciples had something had happened in their life. Remarkably enough that it got people's attention to the degree that they were given a nickname. Amen. And listen, here's what we know about nicknames. I'm just using that for lack of a better word. They're usually derogatory. Yeah. Here's what you know, we all know. every race has got a derogatory nickname for every other race. Listen, some of you are thinking them Yankees are back. And at 9 below 0 in Ohio, we're glad to be back. Everybody's got a name for everybody else, every other ethnicity, every other part of the country. Amen. Isn't that right? And they usually come derogatorily because of what? Because people are different. These are our residents of Antioch. These people that we're talking about, they're not from another land, another country, another culture. These are people that were there, but they're different. Why? Because something had happened to them. And it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Amen. And it got people's attention. Amen. And it said the disciples were called Christians. First in Antioch. It says in Acts 4:13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, now I've been accused of that, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And that's what I want to be guilty of right there. And I hope you do too. I got to figure you must, because you're in church on Friday night. I don't know how to break the news to you, but there's people that are going to think you're kind of weird. But me personally, I think you're cool. Air bump, everybody. Okay, do you guys do that here yet? Now you learned something from me. Amen. And if you didn't like that, I learned it from Mike Veach. So there you go. Amen. I'll tell you what, the best thing ever happened to me, this is an understatement of the night, best thing ever happened to me is that, that I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Because I ain't never been the same. I ain't never been the same, and I'm glad. Amen. All right, so we're talking about this group here, and I didn't forget to pray, just relax. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Let me give you a dictionary definition to the word Christian. And this is Webster's. I don't like New World anything, so I'm going with the old one. And it says a real disciple of Christ. Well, right there it indicates that there's false disciples. Ain't that the truth? Amen. And then it goes on, the definition goes on, it says, one who believes the truth of Christianity. Amen. I'm going to say, well, I think about 90, I don't know, I hate to throw statistics out, but I'd say easily 95% of all the churches in America don't even believe we have the truth of Christianity. We're just doing the best we can with whatever manuscripts somebody that's smarter than us translated. I'm glad the Holy Spirit of God had the Word of God, the manuscript, translated into English 400 plus years ago. And I believe that this is the inspired, inerrant Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. So far, so good. And it says, believes in the truth of Christianity and studies to follow the precepts of and obey the to follow the example of and obey the precepts of Jesus Christ. That what would Jesus do? Oh, you know, really, that's not a bad thought. Amen. Problem is, most people don't have any idea what Jesus would do in any given situation because they don't study. That book says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. What I'm talking about tonight, let me throw it out here like a question. Are you a scriptural Christian? These disciples were called Christians first in Antioch, and I haven't been saved as long as some of you, but I've been around long enough that I can think of some folks that I don't doubt they're saved, but boy, their testimony, it doesn't even remotely resemble what I... So that means this to me. That means you can be saved and not be a scriptural Christian. Well, I want in, man. I got started late, and I want in all the way, don't you? I want to know what the Bible says so that I can be a scriptural Christian, and that's what I want to preach on tonight. And let's pray again. Father, I love you, and I thank you for grace, and I thank you for the privilege to stand in this pulpit. Thank you for these precious folks that have come out tonight. Lord, I don't have to beg you to show up. You're more interested in this than we are. So God, let us be pleasing to you, sensitive to your spirit. Lord, if there's somebody in here tonight that's not saved, pray you make it easy for them to see that the most important issue there is truthfully the easiest issue to resolve. God, I pray that you just allow me to say something that put a smile on your face, be a blessing to your people here tonight, and if that could be so. And Lord, I want to Pray for the Thibault family as well. We've been praying for them on the way in since we heard. And Lord God, I know that's a bittersweet thing. So I pray, God, you would comfort them as only you can. And I pray in Jesus Christ's name, amen and amen. All right, so just real simple, Acts 13, scripture of Christians. So number, just a little outline. What? Let me say this, a scriptural Christian is a forgiven person. Amen. Forgiven person, that's a no-brainer. It says in Acts 13, in verse 38, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are..." It says, all that believe, not just have this head knowledge. All that believe are all... Okay, let me start again. "By him, and by him all that believe are justified from all things." I like that, all. There, I like that. "And all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses." The preaching of Jesus Christ will get you to a place no religion ever could.
Amen.
It'll get you what? It'll get you forgiven. That's the context. It's preached unto you the forgiveness of sin. And it says unto you, this man, and you back that thing all the way up to verse 23, "And this man is a Savior, Jesus." That's the context. And again, I'll say it again. I'll say it a lot. I'll say it every night. I'm glad to be saved. I'm glad to be forgiven. I'm glad somebody told me about the Lord Jesus Christ and what He was able to do, what He was willing to do to make it possible for a sinner like me. I'm glad you got in on it, because the way I look at it, all that was for me, because I needed it. I needed the cross. I needed the blood. I needed the grace. And I'm glad I got it.
Amen.
I'm glad I got it. Glad I got forgiven. It says in Isaiah 55, verse 7, "Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly..." Somebody help me out. Pardon. That's one of my favorite words. I've been on probation and all that. Better than probation, better than parole. Pardon. Let me tell you what that means. Let me tell you what that means to Dave Spurgeon. "What sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore." That's what a pardon is. I'm applying for a presidential pardon. I'm serious. I got the application. I'm filling it out. I've got. I'm gonna get it, I think. But I'm gonna tell you what. Whether I do or not. Boy, in that morning in that jail cell, I got a divine pardon. I mean, from the Lord Jesus Christ. I know what the word means. I'm glad my sins are gone. I'm glad I got forgiveness. It's good to be forgiven. But forgiveness is where Christianity starts. And it's a crying shame, but some get no farther. Could I encourage you this week? Don't be satisfied with just being saved. There's a little more to being a scriptural Christian than just being saved. Scriptural Christian, now we all get on board here. The person that's forgiven, amen, we all got to start there. But we're going to take it to the next level. I mean, if you're interested in being a scriptural Christian, take your Bible and go to Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and let me read you a verse in Matthew, because I forgot to say that before I told you. Matthew. A scriptural Christian is a watch this, forgiving.
Amen.
We like being forgiven, but I'm going to tell you what, you're going to take a step toward being a little more Christ-like, you're going to have to learn to be forgiving. Let me give you an example, and then we'll go to Ephesians 4. Matthew 18 says this, "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times. Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee till seven times, but until 70 times seven." Amen. Listen, he's trying to make a point here. He doesn't mean that you're supposed to be counting. Some of you, I think, are counting. All right, 487, 488, 489, one more time, and I don't have... That's not what he's saying here. He's saying we're supposed to be forgiving people. Ephesians chapter 4, Pauline, as you can get, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31 says this, Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted. I noticed in our crowd, we're a little short on tender-hearted sometimes. Hey, I'm the hardcore militant King James guy too, but how do you get around that? It says, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. So, and here's how we know what the Bible says. We're Bible believers. We see that. But I'm going to tell you what, our thinking flesh doesn't like to let go of stuff. And I'm not the only one in here like that. Amen. And I'm saying, when you justify bitterness and grudges and hard feelings in your heart, here's why. Here's what's happened. evidently, you've forgotten where it says, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you.
Amen.
Let me translate that for you. Nobody. And I'm not saying somebody, nobody ever did you wrong. I'm not saying it ain't no big deal. I'm saying this. Nobody has ever done anything to any of us that remotely compares to what our sin did to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's what nailed him up there. And the Bible says God forgave you.
Amen.
Now, if you look at it in that context, you ought to be able to forgive. Amen. I know it's not easy. But so what? We're taking a step toward being a little more scriptural, then we got to do what you got to do. Okay, now, let me just put it in terms like this. Wasn't the hardest part about getting saved, finally just doing it? Some of you had heard it for years in church. I heard it in a jail cell, knew I was a sinner. I had a doctorate degree in sin. I was working at it. Amen. I was a professional sinner. When he said, all that sin had come short of the glory of God, I went, yeah, okay, cool. I got no problem with that. Guys in jail know that. It's church people that get offended when you tell them they're sinners. It is my pleasure to come here tonight and tell you that you're sinners.
Amen.
Hey, well, you don't know me. All that sinned and come short of the glory of God. Come on. Amen. So then you hear that there's forgiveness available and you think, oh, what will I have to give up? Or what will I have to start doing? And all that stuff goes on. And then you finally get to that place. You get to that place and say, man, if hell's real, I'm going there. And you get saved. I don't know about you, but this is probably the thought that crosses most people's mind once they finally do it is, wow, that feels good. That's great. Why did I wait so long?
Amen.
Isn't that about right? I didn't get saved until I was almost 38. What an idiot. You can amen that. It won't offend me. It's the same way with forgiveness. We carry around a burden, a load of care that God never intended us to carry. He puts it in the context by telling us lesson, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And we put it off and the Spirit of God says, that ain't right. And put away all bitterness and wrath and evil speaking and clamor. And you put it off and you put it off. And finally, Lord willing, finally a preacher will come and preach and the Holy Spirit will bear witness. And you just get that thing right. And man, doesn't it feel like something's lifted? And isn't it like getting saved in the first place? And you think, why did I put that off? Why did I? You're grieving the Holy Spirit. That's not a formula for success. Amen? It's important. It's important. And getting forgiven, Lord makes it easy. And truth be known, with a little bit of honesty, we understand we need it. You know, if you can get away from comparing, well, compared to so-and-so, I never did. Man, you can ride that roller coaster all the way to hell.
Yeah.
Amen. You can be the best person in the community, but you've done something. And anybody who, like I said, with a little honesty within them will acknowledge that. And you can get that problem taken care of. You can get your sins. You can get forgiveness. It's a gift.
Amen.
And then the forgiveness thing. And man, I've been in church. Since I was here last, I've seen a couple really excellent churches explode.
Yes.
Come apart at the seams.
Yes.
People I'd known for over 20 years got at odds with each other, couldn't be reasonable. And I mean, these are all people, they all love Jesus and they all love the book. And I'm glad I'm on the road and I don't get to see some of that. But boy, I came home and the smoke hadn't even cleared, and I thought, oh, my soul. good, well-meaning Christians that are saved and love God, when they can't get a hold of the importance of forgiveness, boy, I'll tell you what the devil's doing right there. He's licking his chops and he's settling in and he's good at what he does. Forgiveness. Scriptural Christian forgiven, but a scriptural Christian is forgiving. All right? Take your Bible, go to Proverbs. Proverbs 18. I'll give you another one. Now, Proverbs 18 and verse 24. Now, the Bible, it should be familiar. You should read it the 18th of every month. Amen. Verse 24 says this: a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Amen. That's deep. Amen. Isn't it? And there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Listen, I got out of jail. I got saved in jail. And then I made bond 3 weeks later. And the preacher that came to the jail said, man, everybody at church is praying for you. And you need to come. And I had hair down the middle of my back and et cetera. And I said, okay, that makes sense. You know, I hadn't been in a church in well over 20 years since I was a kid. And but I'll come. And I'm going to tell you what, to say that I was apprehensive is an understatement. Amen. You know what lost people think? Lost people think that churches are full of a bunch of goody-two-shoes people that never done nothing wrong and have no comprehension of the of what it's like to be a sinner. Boy, are they wrong when they think that. Amen. I came in, I had my guard up, I'm staying, you know, I'm, you know, a little reluctant to over-engage. And I'll tell you what, I couldn't get away from the fact that I was so impressed that people were friendly. They were kind. Of course, they understood more about where I had come from, amen, than I realized. Because some of them came from jail. Some of them had been dope heads. And some of them had been drunks, too. But they all cleaned up real nice. They all looked real good. And, yeah, amen. And I tell you what, I was worried that I'd be going into a church of a bunch of people that were had read the paper, had seen the news, I'd been on all that for a while, and were going to be like really aware of what I had done. And what I found out was that scriptural Christians aren't concerned about what a person did. Amen. What a scriptural Christian is concerned about is what a person does with Jesus Christ. Amen. And they were nice and they were friendly. It blew my... took me totally off guard. I didn't know how to respond to that. But when the preacher said, all right, everybody come back tonight at 6, I said to the guy out there, and I said, for what? I had no idea Christians went to church this much. 10 days in a row, you still got the record. Yeah, and when he said, yeah, what were we thinking? I'm thinking, yeah, why didn't we go 20? Come on, amen. Amen. Plant a little seed there. I don't know. Amen. But anyway, say, you ain't got 20 more messages. I'm redoing some of the ones from the first time I came already. Amen. Amen. It says, a scriptural Christian is a friendly person. Friendly person. They said, well, we come back at 6 o'clock and we meet midweek. And I came back that night and I came back midweek and that was over 28 years ago. I tell you something, everybody that walks into place ain't leaving. A lot of people do, they should stay, but some of us know a good thing when we got in on it. Maybe it had something to do with the people who were friendly. I was used to people that wanted to fight. I was pretty good at fighting. I didn't know how to handle people that were nice. Only person that's ever nice to me is my mom and dad. Thank God they were. But I'll tell you what, I got in on something. And I'm glad. You know what? They accused Jesus Christ in Matthew 11 of being a friend of publicans and sinners. And that was derogatory too, man. They were not complimenting him. But I'm here to tell you, I'm glad he was. I'm glad he still is. Amen. You know what? When people get saved, they get in church for a while. They learn a little Bible. They get a little victory. They might even do some things. And then they get this short memory thing going on. And so let me illustrate it like this. Early on, that first year, that first probably that first spring, I made it through that pre-sentence investigation, got sentenced to probation, sold 3 Harleys, a Corvette. Just God said, what are you doing? What are you hanging on that stuff for? Something to fall back on? And I said, no, I don't want to fall back. So I got rid of everything. Then I got probation, and I thought, Lord, you knew. And he just smiled. I know he did. Because I got in Bible school, and I got a hold of that book, and I stayed away from motorcycles for 20 years. Thank God I get to ride now. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. But, amen. So I'm in the back seat of this, and watch this, minivan. I'm in the back seat, 2 guys in the front. We're going visiting somebody or something. This is all new to me. I go, sure, man, I'll go. Listen, I didn't sit around at home when I was lost. Why would I as a Christian? I think the reason people like that song about the mansion so much is because they plan on sitting around up there in heaven. I don't plan on being there much. I want to be where the action is. In case you're wondering what I mean, the action is where He is.
Amen.
Amen. So I'm sitting back to you this minivan, and I'm going to tell you that the fact that Dave Spurgeon was in a minivan in and of itself is proof that I was saved.
Yeah.
Because I never... But anyway, we'll move on. And I like them now. Don't get mad at me. I'm sitting back there and I hear it. I hear it. So what's it? I hear Harley Davidson. Amen. That was my life for many, many, many years. I mean, I can tell what year they are. I can tell what motor it is. I can tell. And I can't see it. We're stopped at a light. But I can hear it. It's my first spring without a bike, and I was doing good. And then all of a sudden it hit me like, oh, I don't have a bike. And here comes this motorcycle, and it's getting closer, and it's getting louder. And it comes into view. It comes through. I hit a green light. And I'm sitting there, and I look at it. I'm checking it out. I'm not going crazy. I'm not lusting over it. But I paid attention to it. It had a nice paint job. Had good chrome. Looked like a nice bike. Sounded real good. And I thought, wow, that was me right now. Okay. But the guy in the front seat, one of the spiritual guys that they had kind of assigned to be a good example to me, he says this as the guy goes through. He says, look at that jerk. Well, I don't look at guys, you know, so I didn't even notice the guy. But yeah, I did. When he said that, I looked up. He's got blue jeans on. Okay, we're moving on. And then he had his black T-shirt on, a leather vest, and a ponytail, and sunglasses. I mean, he looked just like I did before I got saved. I mean, just like tattoos, everything. And he goes through, and the guy, that's what he said. And I thought, am I just nice, gentle way? Because I'm just a nice, gentle guy. I leaned forward and I wrapped him on the shoulder gently, crack. And I said, that's what you'd have said about me a year ago, ain't it? If you'd have seen me out on the road, look at that jerk. I'm going to tell you what, ain't nobody going to win anybody to Jesus Christ with that kind of attitude. I'll be as hardcore as you want to be, but I've been out on the street with people, and I took a guy, a street preacher, aside one time. I said, let me tell you something, pal. If anybody would have said what you just said to that guy or that girl, I'd have knocked every stinking tooth in their mouth out. Nobody. The truth is what makes people free.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you what, if anybody's going to remotely desire what you have, maybe you better learn to be friendly. You can be friendly without being a compromiser. What did I just say? Compromiser. You can be friendly without being a jerk. You can be a Bible believer without being a jerk too. Oh yeah, come on, I want to hear an amen there. I will amen myself. I have learned how to do it. You should see, it's terrible out on the road these days. All right, number one, scriptural Christian is a forgiven. Are you saved? Are you saved tonight?
Amen.
Anybody not? Just raise your hand, because I'll come back to you. Scriptural Christian is forgiving. And you might need some help on that one.
Yeah.
And that's why the Holy Spirit had me give it. Yeah. That's something you can do business with about. If you're holding a grudge, well, get that thing straightened out.
Amen. Come on. Amen.
Hey, but it's hard. That's what you go to God for.
Yeah.
Man, there's things I had to go to God lots of times before I ever got victory. You know, the problem is some people just say, well, that's just the way it is. That's the way it is. If you accept that being the way it is, we're supposed to grow in grace and knowledge.
Yeah.
Amen. Scriptural Christians, forgiven and forgiving. Scriptural Christian's a friendly person. Scriptural Christian is a... Take your Bible. You didn't think this. You didn't think 2 years and this is going to be a three-point message? I don't even have a poem, brother. Amen. Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27. Now, look what it says. Verse number 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I, what? Fear. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Could I just tell you that a scriptural Christian is a fearless person? Fearless. Now, that doesn't mean stupid. I'm not talking about standing on the middle of the freeway and throwing tracks at cars. I'm not talking about that kind of stuff. Amen. But I'm going to tell you what, there's some things that Christians fret themselves about that they ought not.
Amen.
It said in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. When you see that, what you ought to go is, okay then, where'd it come from? And hello. So if you got it from the wrong guy. The Bible says, "But for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And if you got a spirit of fear, I'm telling you, you didn't get it from the Lord.
Amen.
Let me tell you the problem with fear. Amen. Some of us put more confidence in our problems than we do in our Lord Jesus Christ's capability to get us through. So I came up with this. I think I came up with this. I'm really sure if I ever had original thought, but I think I came up with it. Fear, you're going to be astounded here. Got your pens? Okay. Fear produces worry, which produces stress. Stress, they talk about that a lot these days.
Yeah.
Which produces excuses for not doing anything for God. Man, some people, boy, a call goes out. We need this, we need that, we need help, we need somebody to volunteer. And man, isn't it embarrassing how fast the excuses come out? I've been guilty of it. And I'm a preacher, and I know it's not good. And somebody else says something, I go, well, you know, I would, but I gotta, you know, like, you know, water something or something, you know, something real important, you know. It's gonna rain Monday, but, you know, you follow me? Listen to me, a scriptural Christian should be a fearless person. Say, what do you mean fearless? All right, let me give it to you, right, like this. A scriptural Christian ought not be afraid to live for God.
Amen.
No matter what's going on in the day and age in which we live.
True.
We're supposed to live for God.
Amen.
When it says, let me see, okay, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Do you ever think about that word godly? Let me give Dave Spurgeon's definition. If God wouldn't do it, maybe you ought to quit. Godly, that's something God's for. God does. Ungodly, right? It's quiet. I'm okay with that. Scriptural Christian, 1 Timothy chapter 6. Hey, look, I know what you get here. You get good sound doctrine, good teaching and preaching. I didn't come here to marvel or dazzle anybody. This is real, basic, amen, where the rubber meets the road. This is practical Christianity. If you don't like this, you ain't going to like the rest of the week. That was a dumb thing to say, right? I come back anyway. Or God will beat you. Okay, don't go there. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 12. And this is one of my favorite verses in the New Testament. Paul told Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. You know, I got saved, and there's a lot of things that I used to do that I knew were going to have to stop. And I'm not just talking about dope and liquor. I mean, Ray Charles could see that stuff's not good. Really. You know, there are things, okay, I like to fight. I was an infantryman. I was a paratrooper. They taught, your government spent thousands upon thousands of dollars to teach me how to fight. I liked it. I was pretty good at it. It's the only thing I was good at, that and riding motorcycles. Neither of them pray very well. I told the Lord, Lord, I'm going to have to get a new occupation, and everything I'm good at is illegal. So so I surrendered to preach. He said, yeah, if I don't do something here, this guy's lost, hopeless. But I'm here to tell you, I'm glad when I ran across the verse and the principle that there is a good fight to be fought. I'm here to tell you tonight that Jesus Christ did not call us to be wimps or sissies or cowards.
Amen.
When He saved us. God does not require a person's manhood.
Amen.
As a matter of fact, conversely, take it from somebody that mastered the concept. Anybody can go with the flow. It takes more of a man, more of a lady, more of a young person to stand up for what's right.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
And sometimes that's a fight. And sometimes the fight is no more than with your flesh. The Bible says, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and they're contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things you would. And I'm preaching to empty pews every week somewhere, coast to coast, of people that threw in the towel, they're saved, but they let the flesh just have his way. Shame on them.
Amen.
It's time to fight. There's a good fight. And it's a fight sometimes. But it's a good one. Scriptural Christians are fighting person. You know what we want? We want everything to be like salvation. Jesus paid it all. He sure did. Jesus did it all. And then that's it. We don't see any responsibility. I mean, tell you what, if nothing else, out of gratitude alone, we ought to get a hold of some of these things. Amen. I didn't get religion. I'm not living by a bunch of rules. You got to do this, and you can't do that. I'm not living that way. I'm trying to figure out how to please the one that went the distance all the way to the cross of Calvary to make a way for me to be forgiven. And He's never asked anything of me that isn't reasonable. Isn't that what it says, Romans 12?
Amen.
That isn't reasonable for me to give my best shot. And again, I fail, you fail. He helps. My help cometh from the Lord. During the course of these next 10 days, let's get God in on it.
Yeah.
Get in on our lives. Get in on our testimony. Giving us victory in areas.
Yeah.
Listen, here's how I know you're not all perfect. Say, you haven't seen us for 2 years. We wouldn't be here having a meeting if everybody was perfect. We'd just be singing. Singing and singing in heaven. That's where we'll be when we're perfect. And with the only person, amen, that ever put a foot on this planet that was perfect, that's Him. We want to be more like Him. Scriptural Christian. Scriptural Christian is friendly, fearless, forgiving. You heard it all. A scriptural Christian is a fighting person. Amen? A good fight. Paul says, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. You know what the good fight is? It's about bringing honor and glory to Jesus Christ. Amen. When it's not popular. Oh, it's easy here. But what about at work tomorrow? What about at school tomorrow? What about tomorrow? We got to live for God there. This is like I've seen in many churches that I go to. You're not entering the mission field when you walk out the back door, because ain't it the truth. And America's getting spiritually darker every day. Every week. Well, that ought to make it easier than ever for you and me to shine. Amen. You don't have to be a bonfire to make a difference. It's a little light, man.
Amen.
Glad somebody made a difference to me.
Amen.
Scriptural Christian. He said, I've kept the faith. I want to be able to say that, don't you?
Amen.
Scriptural Christian is all them things. Scriptural Christian, we are now closer to being done than we were. Proverbs 30. And then when you get there, go back to 20 because it was the bifocal thing. I read it wrong. It happens. Say, you laugh a lot. You know what the difference between me and some Christians is? I don't take myself seriously. I take Jesus Christ seriously. I'm in church where people take themselves so thinking seriously. I'm going, man, why would anybody want what you got? Amen. I will amen myself. I need some help, at least from you. I know you're sitting in the front row tomorrow night with Brother Lindell, and I expect you to be the amen corner. All right, Proverbs 20 and verse number 6, the Bible says this. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. Ain't that the truth? Just go on social media. What else are they proclaiming? Oh, I met this wonderful person. No, look at me. Look at me. Look at me. That's what I think of that. Getting kind of loose on night one, ain't we? All right, don't matter. I feel very comfortable. Billy said welcome, and I said, okay, I feel welcome. All right, so, but look at the rest of the verse. It says, but a faithful man who can find. Man, most people, like it says in the beginning of the verse, will proclaim everyone his own goodness. That's why salvation is by grace through faith and not of yourselves. Then it goes on and says, not of works, lest any man should boast. Boy, if there is any possible way to get up there without his grace, that's what we'd be bragging on. Throughout all eternity. And he has put up with that down here. But he ain't putting up with it up there. But I'm going to tell you what, a scriptural Christian gets a handle on that stinking flesh. And instead of bragging on themselves, is just faithful.
Amen.
Amen. Faithful to be where you're supposed to be. It says a faithful man shall abound with blessings. Proverbs 28:20. But he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. And that's why I ended up in jail. I get it now. I see that. It's right there in the Bible. Faithful man shall abound with blessings. If we can learn to be faithful, a scriptural Christian is faithful. Are you getting it? If we can be faithful to study, like we said, you know, you study to show thyself approved. Either you're approved or ashamed. Which is it? Oh, it has to do with what you do with that book.
Right.
I'm a King James Bible believer. Okay, that's a good start, but you need to move it over a little bit. It says, thy word have I hid in mine heart.
Yep.
Amen. That's why we have preaching every week. That's why we have Bible teaching every week. That's why we read our Bibles.
Amen.
I don't know what I was going to do if that didn't make any noise. I understand. Amen. We need to be faithful to study. We need to be faithful to pray. We need to be faithful to church. We need to be faithful to give. We need to be faithful to witness.
Amen.
We need to be faithful to forgive others. Yeah. And a faithful man shall abound with blessings. You want a blessing? Be faithful. I just gave you a bunch of areas. Say, which one? I'm thinking all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like the guy says, should we tithe off the net or the gross? And the preacher said, well, do you want a net blessing or a gross blessing? You know? Yeah. And I'm going, I don't know. I hadn't paid taxes in 30 years. I don't know what to do about that. Amen. But I'm here to tell you, the problem, the blessings are there. Tells us how to get them. Faithful, be faithful. I gave you some areas. But if you're like me, and you are more than you want to admit, we have problems in some of those areas. We have problems in sometimes more than one of those areas at the same time. Sometimes we're not faithful. Sometimes we drop the ball. So what do? It says a faithful man shall abound blessings. He gives us the one. If we confess our sins, He is faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Say, what do we do when we mess up? Be faithful to repent. Get right with God. Amen. Go to God. He knows.
Amen.
And you'll be glad you did, man, because when that fellowship, you know, sin is so subtle that it robs you of your peace, it robs you of your fellowship to the place, it'll rob you of everything but your salvation. And you sometimes you don't even realize how far out left field you are until you're flat out getting sick and tired of watching everybody else sing and rejoice and praise and talk about God and quote the Bible, talk about witnessing, and you haven't done it in so long, and you get sick and tired of it. You say, God, it's me, oh Lord. And the Lord said, yeah, man, I've been waiting. And then all that joy and peace gets restored. Amen. And you abound with blessing. And start over. And the Bible says the just man falls seven times, but rise up again. So that formula, it works next time too.
That's right.
Why? Because He's faithful. That encourages me to try. Amen? All right. So, scriptural Christian is a faithful person. And, I don't know. Here's what I say last of all. They don't believe me. I have been there before. Okay. No. John 19. Go there. Turn there. When a preacher gets tired of people staring at them with like weird looks, you just say, turn in your Bible. Sometimes you get moving and you don't even give people a chance. I'm guilty of everything you can be guilty of, probably. But John chapter 19. Look at verse number 30. Got to increase that font. I can see that. John 19, verse 30, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. It is finished. Scriptural Christian. Scriptural Christian is a finishing person. We talked about Paul finished his course. Jesus Christ finished his course. And again, Paul and many others. And you know what? I just want to say this. I want to finish mine. Amen. I got started late. I was almost 38. But I'm going to tell you what. This isn't just a fad or a fashion or something new to do. I want to finish. Amen. I'll be 66 next Sunday. I'm like your pastor. I never in a million years thought I'd live this long. And I never in a million years thought I'd have a life this good. And I want to finish it with joy for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, and I'll speak for that gal back there too, we're having the time of our life. Oh, you don't have problems? Not to compare it to what God's done. Amen? Okay, I've turned my notes upside down. We might have to start over. I don't know. Okay, I know it's here somewhere. What did I do that for? That ain't the page. Scriptural Christian is a finish. Don't laugh. It gets scary for when you're here, you know. And Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse number 8 says this. When you read it, make sure I say it right. Better is the end of a thing. I love this verse. Better is the end of a thing. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 8 says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Amen. I'll read the verse just to do right by the Bible. It says, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning there. I'm going to tell you what, some of us had a rough start. Some of you, man, you got born into the best thing going. You've had a King James Bible, proverbial silver spoon in your life. Raised up in church, I envy you. That's the best testimony ever. Amen. But don't ever apologize for never having lived wickedly. If I could go back and do it over, I would. Amen. I'm glad I got saved. And I'm glad that how you finish is more important than how you start. Because it is a conundrum. It's ironic. It's amazing to me that we see empty pews that were occupied by young people that grew up in church at the best of everything, heard the preaching, and just bound and determined to go out there and prove that we were right. And the wages of sin is death. Amen. And sin never treated anybody better than it found them. Right. Amen. That makes sense? Yes. I'm glad no matter what kind of start you have, you can finish.
Amen.
Right. And I want to finish right. Amen. Scriptural Christian is a finishing person. So we're just talking about some areas tonight, kind of get the ball rolling, get the meeting going. Areas in your life, in the life of a scriptural Christian, I hope your life, let me give them to you again. Forgiven.
Amen.
Are you saved?
Amen.
Amen. I mean, are you saved?
Amen.
Do you know you're saved on the authority of the Word of God? Amen. Have you confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believed in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead? That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about, man, you go door knocking in the east and I say, are you saved? And they go, yes. I say, oh, good. Well, hereby go. And if you ever stop and say, really? Could you tell me about that? Oh, I was baptized as a baby. Or I was in a car wreck. I've heard this, man, more than one time. I was in a car wreck and I didn't die. Oh, well, I'll give God the credit for saving you there, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about acknowledging something both God and you know that you are a sinner, and the Bible says there'll be no sin in the presence of a holy, righteous God in heaven, and those sins are going to have to be forgiven for you to get in.
Amen.
And the good news is they can, because the Bible said the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin.
Amen.
It's good to be forgiven, but we got to be forgiving.
That's true.
And we got to grow in grace a little bit. I mean, to get a hold of that. And but it's worth working at. I mean, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven us, that's what you keep in mind. Because when the world, the flesh, or the devil says, that rascal, yeah, they probably are, whatever it is, and you probably have been too. And so let's get us out of the picture and just look at this the way God looks at it. Next one was friendly. Some of us are friendly around all the wrong people.
That's right.
Some of us would rather hang around lost people or Christians that are nowhere near walking with God. We're friendly. You know why? There's no conviction there. I mean, listen, you can be raised in a church like this and you know enough verses by the time you're in high school and you can get out in that world and you look like a spiritual giant, and you are. But you're not walking in the Spirit by a... Amen? You need to be friendly with Christians, with other people. The Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron, and so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Boy, I tell you what, God has put me in a crew where I got friends that I am better because of them, and I want them to be able to say that about me. We got a lot of friends in common, too.
Amen.
Okay, so, and then fearless, and then fighting, and faithful, and finishing, and I'm not going to re-preach it. But if the Spirit of God bore witness to anything that was said tonight, it's time to give it some spiritual attention. Let me say this. I understand preaching is the power of God. I get that. But it's not magic. It's supernatural, but it's not magic. Preaching is not what changes a person's life. If it goes like that deer, like it says in James chapter 1, you can be a hearer and not a doer. That book says you deceive your own self. So that makes this time, now, however long it lasts, 1 minute, 10 minutes, doesn't matter. That makes the invitation the most important 5 minutes of the entire night. For it's where you meditate on what's been said and do business with what the Spirit of God may have impressed upon you and do something. And like I said in the beginning, the Holy Spirit isn't tied to my outline. He could deal with you about anything.
Amen.
Now's the time to give it some spiritual attention.
Yes.
Say, well, I don't want to get right with God the first night. Well, don't worry. We'll try to find something else, you know. Let's take it serious.
Yeah.
Amen. All right. Preacher, come on. However you do it, and however you give an invitation, however you want to do it. But you got the message, right?
Amen.
Amen. All right.